I'd like to open the Bible with you. I'm going to read from some passages this afternoon in connection with Lord's Day 24 of the Catechism, which speaks of the place of good works in our salvation. So we read first from Jeremiah 17, the verses 1 to 10, then from Matthew 7, 15 to 23, and finally from 1 John 3, 7 to 18. Jeremiah 17, beginning at verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With a point of a diamond it is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars, while their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees on the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasures, and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger which shall burn forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. We turn to Matthew 7, we read the verses 15 to 23. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Finally, we turn to 1 John 3. We'll read the verses 7 to 18. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. From the Heidelberg Catechism, let's read together Lord's Day 24. Why can't the good we do make us right with God, or at least help make us right with him? Because the righteousness which can pass God's scrutiny must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law. Even the very best we do in this life is imperfect and stained with sin. How can you say that the good we do doesn't earn anything when God promises to reward it in this life and the next? This reward is not earned. It is a gift of grace. But doesn't this teaching make people indifferent and wicked? No, it is impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. That's one of the hallmarks of the Reformed faith, that we cannot earn or merit anything towards our salvation, that it has been accomplished by Jesus Christ, by his bitter and shameful death on the cross. Jesus died to pay for our sins. He rose to grant us new life in him. It's by believing these things that we are saved. Thus, our salvation is ultimately a gift of grace. It is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. This teaching has promoted a strong reaction for many Christians who are very uncomfortable with the idea that we don't need to do anything toward our salvation. Roman Catholics say that we need to do good works. They believe that it is by faith and works that people are saved. It's because of this that Lord's Day 24 was added to the Heidelberg Catechism to help explain the role of works in our justification, to make it clear that our good works cannot be even part of our righteousness before God. There is a danger in saying works are not necessary for salvation. As Reformed Christians, it is possible for us to adopt the attitude that since good works don't earn anything, they're not necessary. It's not hard for some to adopt the attitude that as long as they pray for forgiveness at the end of the day, it doesn't matter too much how they live. To live from this perspective is summed up by the following ditty. I am saved by grace, O happy condition. I can sin all I want and still claim remission. Now, obviously, this attitude is wrong. The teaching that salvation is by grace alone, apart from good works, should not make us careless or wicked. Our Lord's Day teaches it is impossible that those grafted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of gratitude. A true Christian will show forth his faith in how he lives his life. The scriptures make this point by comparing God's people to trees. A good tree will bear good fruit, and a bad tree will bear bad fruit. Using this analogy, let's examine our lives to see whether or not we have a living faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. I preach you the Word of God under the following theme. Like a tree planted by a stream, a true Christian will bring forth fruits of thankfulness. We'll contrast two trees, different fruits, opposite outcomes. Jeremiah was a prophet during the reigns of the last kings of Judah. The Assyrians had already taken Israel into exile. Jeremiah was called and sent by the Lord to warn his people against their idolatrous dependence on the gods of the nations. King Josiah tried to restore the exclusive worship of the Lord in Judah. Yet the people wavered between trusting the Lord and depending on the nations and their gods for their security. In Jeremiah 17, we see how bad things had become. Judah was God's covenant people, but they did not live that way. Judah's sin was so great, it was no longer just something outward. It was engraved on the hearts of God's people. Thus, Jeremiah was sent to warn of how God's wrath would come on them, of how Judah's wealth would be plundered, her land lost, her people enslaved. That would be the Lord's punishment on his disobedient people. This message would have been really difficult for God's people to understand. They saw themselves as God's covenant people living in his land, under his care. Somehow they thought they had the right to God's blessing, no matter how they lived. They forgot that God's promises need to be received in faith. That in response to the Lord's mercy and grace, they were called to live as his holy people. That their lives should show forth thankful obedience for God's care and blessings over them. Through Jeremiah, the Lord pronounces blessing and curses on his people. Blessings on those who trust in the Lord, and curses on those who trust in man. The Lord uses an analogy from nature to make his point. He compares people to trees. There's good trees and bad trees. Good trees bear fruit, while bad ones don't. Through this example, the Lord wanted to teach his covenant people an important lesson. Jeremiah teaches that life and blessing are to be found in living in a covenant relationship with the Lord our God. Some were not living in covenant fellowship with God. They did not trust in the Lord for their life and well-being. Instead, they trusted in man. Many in Judah trusted in military alliances. They depended on the power of the surrounding nations to keep them safe from their enemies. They followed these nations in worshiping their gods. They expected the gods of the Canaanites, the Egyptians, and the Babylonians to deliver them. They were fools to think that worthless idols could do anything for them. The Lord spoke this curse upon such people. He said, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." Thus we see that those who trust in man are compared to bad trees, or to use Jeremiah's language, a bush in the wasteland. What do you think happens when you try to grow a plant in a desert? Most plants simply can't survive there. You will not find trees growing in a place where there is no water. The only thing that might survive in a desert is a cactus or some other type of plant that can survive a long time without moisture. Thus, Jeremiah does not compare those who trust in man with a tree, but with a bush. A scraggly bush struggling to survive. A bush that's actually good for very little. For such a bush will never produce any kind of fruit. In contrast, Jeremiah pronounces blessing on those who put their faith and trust in the Lord. He says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Those who trust in the Lord are compared to good trees. So what sets apart a good tree from a bad one? For a tree to grow strong and produce fruit, it needs a steady supply of water. It needs to be planted in a place where its roots can find a regular supply of moisture, so that even in a time of drought, the tree will receive the water it needs to stay lush and green. The distinguishing mark of a good tree is that it will bear fruit. Season in and season out, you'll be able to harvest a crop from it. Jeremiah 17 teaches us we can go forward in life in two different ways. If you go forward in your own strength, you will be like a shrub in the desert. Your life will continually be exposed to the scorching sun and heat of the wilderness. In the desert, there's little water to sustain growth, if sufficient to sustain life itself. Jeremiah paints a picture of barrenness, of unproductiveness. Life without God is empty and meaningless. It is cursed. But if you trust in the Lord and look to Him for all you need, you'll be like a tree planted beside the waters. You may encounter troubles, hardship, or sorrow, yet they will not shake your faith. A tree planted by the waters remains green, even when drought comes upon the land. It does not cease yielding fruit, even in troubled times. Jeremiah paints a picture of great fruitfulness. Life with God has meaning and purpose. It is blessed. The basic issue facing God's people of Judah is the same one we're confronted with in Lord's Day 24. The question is, in whom do you put your trust? Who do you rely on to provide you with salvation? Do you trust in God or do you trust in man? Do you depend on Jesus Christ as the only ground of your salvation, believing He has died for your sins, that He has risen to grant you new life in Him? Or do you seek your salvation and well-being in yourself, in your own good works? One of man's basic problems is his struggle with pride. We like to think more of ourselves than we should. It's part of our sinful nature to think that at root we're pretty decent people. It's the core reason why throughout the ages people have thought they could earn their own salvation or at least contribute towards it. Many think that man is inherently good, so he's able to live for God, able to earn His approval. Yet this philosophy that man is good is false. People should know that by seeing what goes on in the world around them. In our city, people commit all sorts of crimes. Stealing, robbery, assault, rape, stabbings, murder. There is bullying in our schools. Husbands and wives cheat on each other. Parents abuse their children. People are inherently selfish. They care more about themselves and their own interests than they do about others. And that doesn't just apply to the lives of people around us in society. It also applies to us, beloved. When we compare ourselves with some of the evildoers in society around us, we like to feel pretty good about ourselves. But we have no reason to boast. We too are guilty of lying and cheating, of lust and greed, of saying and doing hurtful things to those around us. So often we put ourselves and our interests first. Rather than obeying God's law, we do what we want. We don't love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. So we're lying to ourselves when we try to convince ourselves that we're good people. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Paul teaches in Romans 3 that no one of himself is righteous before God. He says there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They've together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. This means that none of us is able to merit our own salvation. We cannot even make a contribution towards it. Our good works are not good enough. Like it says in question and answer 62, the righteousness which can stand, which can pass God's scrutiny, must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law. Even the very best we do in this life is imperfect and stained with sin. We have nothing with which to pay the debt we owe God because of our sins. Spiritually, we're bankrupt. So how can we be saved from the judgment of God we deserve? Not by trusting in ourselves or in our own good works, but by believing the gospel and trusting God's promise that all our sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus' blood shed on the cross. It's not what we do that saves us. Instead, we're saved by Christ's redeeming work on our behalf. Salvation comes to us by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So far, we've seen how we can be either good trees or bad trees. But how do you know what kind of tree you are? We deal with this in our second point. And it will contrast how the two kinds of trees bring forth different fruit. In Jeremiah 17, the prophet speaks blessings and curses upon God's people, depending on how they were living their lives. Those who trusted in man were compared to a bush in the desert. Even in good times, such a bush will not prosper. It cannot and will not bring forth fruit. In contrast, Jeremiah says that those who trusted in God were like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Despite the heat, the leaves of such a tree are always green. Even in a year of drought, it never fails to bear fruit. The Lord Jesus made a similar point in Matthew 7. He warns against false prophets and teaches his disciples you can recognize them by their fruit. Jesus made it clear that people do not pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. He said, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. The basic point is you can recognize a tree by the fruit it produces. Remember that in this example, the trees are people. Some people produce fruit in their lives, while others don't. What is this fruit that Jeremiah spoke about and to which Jesus refers? Both are speaking of the fruits of faith. Remember that Jeremiah categorized people into two groups, those who trusted in man and those who trusted in the Lord. Jesus does something similar. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He makes it clear that we need to have a living faith in the Lord, a faith that's characterized not just by calling Jesus Lord, but by doing the will of his Father in heaven. There are some who know about God without knowing God. There are some who know the doctrines of grace without sharing in the grace of God in Christ. They may believe the right things in their heads, but their hearts are not set on them. Because of that, their lives are empty of such qualities as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They don't walk with God or live out their faith, because when it comes right down to it, they do not have a living faith in Jesus Christ. The point is pretty simple, beloved. If you are united to Christ in faith, then you're rooted, you're grounded in him. Having that kind of faith will result in a certain kind of life. Because your hope is in God. Because you trust in Christ for salvation. Like a good tree, you will produce good fruit. This is inevitable in the life of a true Christian. For if you're united with Christ in faith, you will share in his Spirit. He changes us from the inside out. It's through his work that we produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Our reading from 1 John 3 makes this clear. The Apostle John draws a strong contrast between the children of God and the children of the devil. He says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. In other words, he who does not practice righteousness and does not love his brother is not a child of God, but a child of the devil. How can John say this? Is he suggesting that it is by our good works that we're saved? That those who do right and love their brethren are by virtue of these actions children of God? Not at all. Note carefully that John said that this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. It's by their righteousness and love that the children of God show themselves for who they are. We know who God's children are because the fruits of faith shine forth from their lives. To make his point clear, John gives the example of Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. Why did he do this? Because he belonged to the evil one. John makes it clear that everyone who dwells on this earth is part of one of two camps. Either you are a child of God, or you are a child of the devil. There's only two families on this earth. You either belong to the family of God, or you belong to the family of the devil. There's no in between. There's no neutral zone. It's one or the other. So how do we know what family we're part of, beloved? How do you know if you're a true Christian or not? One of the ways we can tell is by whether or not we produce good fruit in our lives. John says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. 1 John 4 verse 7 makes it clear, love comes from God. In Romans 5 verse 5, we're taught that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, beloved, the unsaved man has no capacity to truly love his fellow man. The sinful man is by nature essentially selfish. An unsaved person may show forth what the world considers to be a loving act, but he cannot love with the unselfish love of God. For God's love does not dwell in his heart. The only people who can truly love are those in whose heart God has poured out his love by the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 3, John calls us to love one another. This is the supreme test he offers to see if we're children of God and if we're living in close communion with him. Love is the fulfillment of God's law. The whole of the law is summarized in the command to love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. But not everyone loves in this manner. That depends on whether or not we've been born of God, whether or not we have a living faith in him. It depends on whether or not we're rooted in Christ and have his Spirit to produce fruits of faith in us. A true faith in Jesus Christ will manifest itself in fruits of faith. It's as our catechism says, it's impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. Our reading from 1 John 3 makes this concrete. John asks, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? John encourages us, saying, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We come back to the main point, that there are two different kinds of trees which produce different fruit. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. The point is not that we're saved by doing good works. Instead, it is that if we're saved by faith in Christ, we will produce fruits of thankfulness in our lives. So what is your life like, beloved? What kind of tree are you? Do you have a living faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has the Holy Spirit begun a new work in you, transforming you, so you begin to live not for yourself, but for God? Can those around you see that the fruit of the Spirit is evident in how you live? These are important questions. The answer you give to them spells the difference between life and death, between heaven and hell, between glory and condemnation. We deal with this in our final point, and we'll see how two types of trees producing different fruits result in opposite outcomes. In a reading from Jeremiah, the prophet spoke words of blessing and curse. He cursed those who trusted in man, comparing them to a bush in the desert that never produces fruit. He blessed those who trusted in the Lord, comparing them to a tree planted by the waters that never fails to bear fruit. Toward the end of our reading, Jeremiah spoke about the deceitfulness of the human heart. How in sinful pride we have the tendency to think better of ourselves than we should. Jeremiah concludes by speaking these words on behalf of the Lord. He said, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." God is the only one who truly knows whether or not we trust in Jesus Christ for our life and well-being. He is the one who evaluates our lives, determining whether or not we are bearing fruit to his glory. And he says that he will reward each person according to his or her deeds. The Lord Jesus also made it clear that there are eternal consequences to how we live our lives. It's not enough to confess Christ with words. We need to serve him in our daily lives. Jesus warned, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Jesus makes it clear that those who do not have a living faith in him will be condemned as evildoers on the final day. The opposite is also true. Just think of the parable of the talents. In Matthew 25, Christ makes it clear that he has given each of us gifts. Everything we have, our time, money, opportunity, learning, and spiritual gifts, all these things are given us by God. We're called to be good stewards of these gifts, to use them in God's service. How we use our gifts will have consequences for us in the life to come. To those who are faithful, Christ will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, enter the joy of your master." Yet the unfaithful servant was cast into utter darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Beloved, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. We are not saved by our good works or because we live fruitful lives to the glory of God. Yet it is very important that we bring forth fruits of thankfulness in our lives. Like a tree planted by the waters, a true Christian will bring forth fruits of thankfulness. And so I need to ask you, is your life rooted and grounded in the Savior Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him for your life and well-being? Do you truly believe that he died for your sins, that he rose to grant you new life in him? If you do, you should be able to see the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life. Then you may be confident that you share in Christ and all his blessings now and forevermore. Amen.